morning. We're discussing breast augmentation today. It seems like a very broad question, but let's be honest, there's a lot of facets to everything that we discuss here. So what is a breast augmentation?
Breast augmentation is a procedure which is usually done using breast implants. And those are indications for it, obviously. Sometimes people feel that they lost the volume in their breasts or they never had the volume. They want to enhance their cleavage or something like this. And the breast implants can be filled with the saline or silicone. It depends on patient preference.
What's the difference between a breast augmentation and a breast reconstruction?
Totally two different things. Breast augmentation is when we are talking about healthy breast, which is in need of a change for the shape or volume. When we are talking about breast reconstruction is needed to patients who lost the breast for different reasons or a part of breast due to some benign or malignant tumor or some kind of disease to the breast.
So we're talking about breast augmentation today. And when somebody goes in for a consultation, what can they expect to be discussed?
Usually when patient comes for breast augmentation, I start my discussion with the patient. Why patient is thinking about that? What is that it bothers her about her breasts? And then you can easily conclude, is the patient on the right track? Because some patients think that breast augmentation, that the volume is going to replace sagginess of the breast. To the certain extent it does, but those are obviously, limitations to it. The best thing is to let the patient talk, to hear them what their concerns are, and what desires they might have. And then surgeon has to be educated for patient after exam to explain patient what she will be actually gaining doing implants or lift or whatever it might be.
So when somebody decides to undergo breast augmentation, how long is the average procedure?
It depends of procedure you choose. Depends what is the entrance point, which surgeon decides together with the patient after exam in office, and actually we present the patient's options. When we go in operating room, this is pretty much you deliver what you promised. It can take between hour to 2 hours.
And do you do general anesthesia? Is there a local anesthesia for it?
It's a general anesthesia needed.
There are different types of breast implants. Could you explain what each type is?
Sure. We have implants which they fill with the saline, and we have implants which they fill with silicone. In old times, in the early 90s, it was a big brouhaha about implants and some autoimmune disease connected with this, which apparently proved to not be true. But in past, we used different type of silicone. Silicone-filled implants now are filled with silicone, that's true, but cross-linking of that silicone actually is different. So in the case that implant ruptures, this is no dissemination of a silicone. It stays in place. This is very safe. And ones which they filled with the saline, in the case that they fail, and it might happen, obviously, you just lose the volume and that's it.
Is it common for an implant to fail like that? How often does that happen?
It really is not. It's a small percentage. And it's very, very rare that something like this happens. They're very durable and sturdy. And it shouldn't be really happening.
And now all silicone is safe for an
It
implant.
Is safe.
Right.
Sometimes some of them are called gummy bears because of actually cross-linking in it. It's a hardness. And if you take a knife to cut through that implant, you will see it's cohesive and it doesn't leak out. But at the same time, it doesn't feel hard. It feels very natural. It feels like you're touching a regular breast. Or if you want to really kind of compare it, you can touch your thigh. This is that time of firmness.
Really?
Yeah.
Your thigh?
Yeah.
And
it's a little softer than that. Yeah. Like regular muscle. Yeah. Although breast is not muscle. I don't want to say like it's a muscle because breast is not muscle. We all know that.
Is there one that you prefer when it comes to silicone or saline? Is there a better option than the other?
I personally think that silicone-filled implants feel more natural, and they look more natural than a saline. It depends how much of a tissue you have to cover that implant. That's what you also have to go for. And some patients may not be qualifying for saline implants at all because they may have some rippling, they may have some problems, and you would suggest to them what's best for them. But ultimate decision is up to patient.
And then how long does the recovery usually take after a breast augmentation?
It's usually quick. However, I have to mention a couple things. If surgeon and a patient choose to put implant under the pectoralis muscle, recovery might be a little longer because it takes time till this muscle stretches and you don't feel that pain. If you go above the muscle, recovery is much quicker and the pain is almost negligible. However, this is good and bad because pain is our friend and tell us when to stop if you are doing something which our body doesn't appreciate. However, sometimes people engage in activities they shouldn't. Like for regular life, living without lifting more than 3 to 5 pounds, I think you're ready in a week. But if you want to engage in exercising, weightlifting and stuff, I would suggest to wait 3 to 6 months.
So most procedures, are they done below or above that muscle? Is there a preference for that as well?
This is also some limitations. Some patients who do not have enough their own breast tissue to cover the implant itself, it's a very good advice to go under the muscle. But if they have enough breast tissue to cover, I would definitely suggest to go above the muscle because of a natural look and feeling and recovery and animation. I'm going to explain what animation means. If you put implant under pectoralis muscle, you may have animating implant, which means when you lift something, implant moves because it includes muscle, which usually gets involved in that action.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're on top of that muscle, it's no animation there. And people who are very physically active, if they're in bodybuilding or weightlifting, I think for them much, much, much better option is on top of the muscle because it's no animation involved and it's no telltale sign about augmentation.
There did used to be a bit of a stigma when somebody had a breast augmentation, right? Is that what people were referring to when they say, oh, they don't move or they don't look natural, which really, again, is not the case anymore, I understand. But
you know,
is that what it was referring to, sort of?
I agree. Yes, you're 100% correct. But I have to tell you, you still may have those cases around because it's not that everybody is going for natural look. It's mm-hmm. not that everybody is going for aesthetically pleasing. And we have a different views what's really aesthetically pleasing.
It changes all the time.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think everything has to be in proportion. People keep saying, I want to look natural or I don't want to look natural. See, I do have little advantage being female. I think patients are very open to me when they're talking. Nobody wants to be judged. I usually ask them, do you want to be noticeably bigger or what look you are trying to go for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you put in some small body with narrow shoulders, big implants, it doesn't look natural and it's in your way.
Right.
I personally think good look is to fit in clothes, but a little nicer, to have some cleavage, you know, and you should not really hit your implant if you are walking or running. It shouldn't be going under your armpit.
But everybody wants something a little different. It's true.
Agree.
It does change a lot. A few years ago, you know, everybody had to be skinny. That was the only way to be. Yeah. Now we're embracing different looks, which is much better, much healthier, I think.
I agree with you.
We're talking about recovery. How long would it take for somebody to actually return to work?
It depends on what kind of work they do. If their work is connected with any manual labor, you know, I would suggest to take a couple of weeks before they return. But if they're doing sedentary job and stuff, they can come back to work in a week.
What kind of scars are you left with, if any, after a breast augmentation?
Well, you definitely, everybody has some scar. It depends what entrance point do you choose. I personally love entrance on the bottom of a breast, which is a little bit in the area of your inframammary fold of the breast, because it's really kind of blends in, and this is the least possibility that you injure nerve, which is innervating nipple, and you can really have good control of the pocket in terms of bleeding and stuff like this. You can go around the nipple areola complex, which I don't really prefer. Or you can go through the armpit. You can go through the belly button. It's like a lot of variations, which they make it even crazier. But I would suggest for patients to look the safest entrance and how you can really control the field. safely.
Do you still have sensation? Does anything change in that area after a breast augmentation?
It should not.
Okay.
However, having said that, we do have our nipple areola complex is innervated with the fourth and the fifth intercostal nerve, which probably now is too much of information, but it comes from a side. But we really don't know. It's very individual to the patients. We don't know. We don't see those nerves, put it that way, right? And they really should not be knocked doing this procedure. It's a slight possibility, but I'm a very lucky surgeon, I have to say. I never had that problem.
You know, a lot of people who have been considering breast augmentations might be thinking about what point of life they are in or are going to be in. So is a breast augmentation something that you should do if you're planning on having kids? Should you wait until after you have kids to do it? Does it matter?
I personally would say it does not matter. You have to see how much something bothers you. Ultimately, it's your body and your decision. If you are doing breast augmentation and you are planning to have a family, it's just fine. It should not interfere with your breastfeeding. Because your breast tissue is breast tissue. We are not putting it in the breast. We are putting it under the breast, as I said earlier, sometimes under the muscle as well. Should not interfere with desire to breastfeed. Should not interfere with the mammograms or any kind of studies which we have for breasts. I have to say that some people are born with very small chests. They're not developed and they don't fit in clothes very well and they would like to do this. They can do it. Sometimes people have a beautiful breast, but then after they breastfeed, they do lose the shape of it. They do lose upper pole and stuff like this. They want to make up a little bit for the volume they lost. That's also an indication. And sometimes breast implant will not fix all problems you desire for your aesthetically pleasing breast. It may be combined with the breast lift or something. But this usually is advice that everybody has to get from a surgeon they talk to.
Have you seen a lot of cases where somebody gets a breast augmentation and then after they have kids need to go back in?
Well, I did see those patients and they usually had larger breasts to start. It happens. And also aging process, even without having kids, is going to affect breasts like everything else. Sometimes, you know, you have to redo it. But some people are just good for many, many, many years.
Have you noticed at any point has getting a breast augmentation before having kids helped after they have children?
Some people really don't even change if they had very, very small breasts to start.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a volume. Then having kids, it doesn't change much of your breast because it's not volume to be changed.
You mentioned mammography earlier, that the implants do not affect anything like that when you're
screening. They do not. However, everybody who has implants placed should tell person who's mammography tech that they have implants and they're going to just adjust their technique. A breast which has implant, they're going to be just handling it a little bit more carefully, putting it in that squeezing device of mammogram.
Very pleasant device.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So do most people who get breast implants, do they have to usually go back like every 10 years or every so often to get adjustments? How does that work?
Now, I think that's a great urban legend, which probably survived everything. I tell my patients, implant is good till it's good. Some people develop complication as a capsule or something. We don't know how your body is going to react. And then if you have a problem, it can happen anytime. If you don't have a problem, just go on with this. I would not really put a time limit or expiration date because it doesn't exist.
No. So somebody can come in and have a breast augmentation today and you could never see them again.
100% correct.
Can you fix asymmetrical breasts with implants?
It depends what kind of asymmetry is there. Asymmetrical breast can be having asymmetry in anything, in a size, in undeveloped, let's say, breast, which is just no breast there, or much smaller breast, or tubular breast, or anything. Some of these discrepancies, absolutely, we can correct with implants.
I feel like asymmetrical breasts are pretty common for a lot of women.
I'm going to tell you something I never saw in my life. Two same breasts.
Right.
In a person. Asymmetry may be in a breast like that inframammary fold is in one side is a high and one side is a lower. Then you may have asymmetry in the width of your breast, in height, as I just said, or size and the shape of your nipple areola complex, and that's how it goes. And then when we age, one breast may be more saggy than another. These asymmetries, it depends what asymmetry is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a volume, if it's a little width, we can definitely compensate for that. But if breast is one side more saggier than another, we may need a lift and an implant.
Another thing we wanted to get to today was if you are listening now and already have implants and have been concerned about lymphoma, I'm not going to act like I know what I'm talking about, because this is something, Dr. Tanevich, that you cued me in on. It's B-I-A-A-L-C-L. And I'd like you to explain exactly what that is and why people are concerned and if they should be concerned.
Okay, I'm really glad we're going to talk about this, because it was a big hype in the last 3 years about this. B-I-A-A-L-C-L stands for Breast Implant Associated Atypical Large Cell Lymphoma. This is actually something which has been associated with the textured implants or a textured expanders, which have been used widely everywhere in the world, the United States of America. And as of actually January 2021, we have 993 cases worldwide. In the United States of America, we have 355 cases. And recorded deaths from this, it's 33. This is really insignificant and such a small percentage. Statistics are going that one woman in the 30,000 may develop this problem. But that one woman in 30,000 may be one person who's very concerned and may be ill. And that's very important that we really talk about that issue today. How to detect this? First of all, this is connected just for textured implants. And every person who has implants does have a card, which actually explained what kind of implants patient has in himself place. This is a traceable, and that card should be tracing your implants. And you should always know what do you have. If you are that person who has that, and if you are concerned, I would start with a self-exam, because usually people with that problem starts in between 8 and 10 years of placement. It's not immediate. And you may feel some hardness, some lumpiness, or some pain on that side. It's a curable problem. You remove implants, you remove capsule which surrounds them. Obviously, you see an oncologist who's going to follow up and see, do you have anything more than we already took out to take care of? And it's pretty easily to solve that problem. I would not really tell patients to all go. Whoever has that implant doesn't mean it's going to get that. And I know when all this came out, people were calling my office all the time. I have them, should I have to remove them? No. You have to really monitor your implant and see. Some people will never have that problem. If you are talking one person in 30,000, think about percentage.
Right. So most people wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Majority of people. It's very, 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 very rare. As I said, it's 993 cases till January of 2021 reported in entire world. It's really small chance, small possibility. But just do self-exam. Check how hard capsule around that implant is. And but if you so anxious about this, if you really don't want to even think about this, just remove them and put smooth implant. That's it.
And it's a fairly safe and common procedure to switch out an implant,
Definitely. Right?
It happens Definitely. Very often.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to leave us with? Any thoughts? Somebody who might be considering breast augmentation.
This is another procedure which is not involving implants of any sort. And this is a fat grafting to the breast. This is another option of to do augmentation without any foreign body in you. This is just your fat. However, look will not be like implanted look. It will be, you will have augmented breasts. We definitely can increase your cleavage with that. We can add some volume to it. But you will never have that augmented look, because some ladies love to have that look to a certain extent. Then if you are not in that category, you may have perfectly enlarged breasts and contoured with your own fat. This is very safe. This is great. You gain the weight. Your breast gets bigger. They get a little smaller. But this is your own augmenting material you're using to augment your breasts.
That's interesting. I feel like that's something that a lot of women might joke about. Like, oh, take a little from here and put it over here. But it's very actually possible.
It is actually reality these days. Another good thing, you don't have any scars on your breast, because tissues we are augmenting breast with, fat tissues, you're actually using small cannula, which is size of a needle, and you don't have any scars.
No kidding. No. So there's no real cutting or anything.
No cutting on the breast. Absolutely not.
Wow.
And this is actually double benefit because we all have a pocket we hate on our body. Can
sure
it be
do.
In the thighs?
Have a
Can
couple.
It, well, trust me. Don't get me started, you know. A little bit lower belly or love handles or whatever. And if you want to reduce this, you kind of get two things at the same time.
Yeah.
You do liposuction on this and we don't waste your fat. We just put it where you need it.
Wow.
I love that. That's my favorite way of augmentation.
I'm going to end this on a positive note because I think I'm going to have to call you about that. We got some more talking to do off the air, Dr. Tanovich.
No problem. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you so much. It's always so educational. I know you're answering so many questions about, I'm sure there is somebody listening right now who's been thinking about it and toying with it and should I do it? Should I not do it? And it's always so informational when you come. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for listening and thank you for your time.